Hi, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Toy Harp, a podcast about bluegrass. This is the last episode of season two. Here from Nashville is my conversation with Allison Krauss.
I remember, you know, the first time I looked out in the audience and saw people singing words to our songs that only we had recorded. That was just a really crazy moment. Just never thought it'd end up being there. Never thought we'd hear back from Rounder. Yeah. Never thought we would hear from Rounder in the first place.
If this is your first time listening, you can hear full interviews with Jerry Douglas, Allison Brown, Bela Fleck, Larry Sparks, Jody Stecker, and so many more wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Later on.
From BGS, you're listening to The Shift List, where chefs talk about the music that fills their kitchens, restaurants, and recipes. I'm Chris Jacobs. Support for The Shift List comes from Nomad. The Santa Barbara, California-based tech accessory company specializes in leather and ruggedly engineered mobile accessories. In fact, new for 2019, Nomad just announced its Natural Collection, a line of beautiful natural leather products like their new Apple Watch strap and a rugged case for transporting those white earbuds so you'll never tangle or lose them again. Head on over to hellonomad.com/BGS and use code BGS at checkout to receive 15% off any full-priced items through the end of January. hellonomad.com/BGS, 15% discount code BGS at checkout. If you're a regular listener, you know that we've headed to London for the entire month of January. More than any other chef that I spoke to in the city, Romail Scully's first restaurant, Scully, is definitely the most centrally located. Tucked around the corner from the bustling Piccadilly Circus, it's a welcome respite for office workers and theatergoers alike, serving exciting and inventive food that only Chef Scully could make. A veteran of Chef Yotam Ottolenghi's venerable Ottolenghi and Nopi restaurants, Romail Scully opened Scully back in March of 2018 with the backing and support of Chef Ottolenghi himself, who describes Scully as having an insatiable appetite for vibrant colors and irreverent blends of ingredients, which makes sense given that he was born in Malaysia to a mother of Chinese and Indian descent and an Irish Balinese Malay father. His palate was destined to be filled with mixed influences. Adam moved to Australia as a young child, where he was ultimately raised in a multi-ethnic neighborhood, and you start to get a sense of how Romail Scully eventually found his culinary voice. Utilizing a range of ingredients from homemade spices, pickles, preserves, oils, animal fats, dairy, and sprouts, his food can only be described as his own, like the arepa stuffed with eggplant sambal and bergamot labneh. It's neither Middle Eastern or Colombian, it's just Scully's. One of the most generous and warm chefs I've had the pleasure of speaking with, Scully and I had a chance to chat before a shift at his restaurant back in August.
So hi, my name is Romail Scully. I have a restaurant named Scully, co-owner, exec chef. When I first came to London in 2004, I met Yotam Ottolenghi, and I've been with the Ottolenghi Group for many years, and this is my first project solo, thanks to the big man Yotam who backed me up and basically believed in my style of food. And what we do in Scully's is basically, I'm very kind of a fusion chef. I know, like, Ottolenghi will always say, fusion's a bad word, Scully, but, you know, this is who I am, basically. If you do it right and you do it properly on the plate, it really works out. I like to look at different nationalities and different cuisines in one plate, mix it up, make it interesting, get your flavours and your taste buds going. So, you know, growing up as a kid in Malaysia, being blessed having 9 aunties and 2 uncles, when you sit down for a dinner party, you just, you don't know where to start because it was just like food from everywhere. Like one auntie would do a great Malay dish and one auntie would do a great Chinese dish. And then mum lived in the UK for 7 years studying to be a nurse. So you get the chance to try a bit of European food she would bring on the table. So we got shepherd's pie, good roast chicken. So even growing up in Australia, like, you know, it's a very multicultural country. So in the way that I had a lot of Turkish friends, Maltese friends, Italian friends. So going to their parents' house and trying different cuisines. That's why I started learning, like different flavors. But I only started noticing after the fourth year, because I did a lot of classical training, that I noticed that you can mix ingredients together, a little bit of chili and jus and soy sauce can work, you know. But my French chefs will be like, you can't do that, it's illegal, you know, it's really wrong. But I think in many years of, you know, I've been cooking for 23 years, so I've been practicing and mastering it, and there's still a lot to learn. There's still a lot of different combinations, and it just makes the food a little bit interesting. I do have a respect for chefs who do classical food, but that's my style, and, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones to have that. So it's basically a 50-seater restaurant, just under a 50-seater restaurant, and finding a site too that I can actually grow in the next 8-10 years, that in the way that I think every chef will understand what I'm trying to say. Like, you start off your first year, but you start filling spaces. That I do a lot of fermenting. I make my own koji, so I need an incubator. I do it in a way that I have buckets of tomatoes fermenting in soy sauce right now, waiting for the Christmas period. I got buckets of cherries and apricots and plums turning into shrubs for future vinegars or cocktails. So we never know. So that's the whole understanding. Like, I think it was really hard, like, to find a site in a way that I can do that. So, and one of the things is, we are in central London, in Piccadilly Circus, St. James Market. And one thing about London is so spread out. It's massive. It's huge. I've been living here on and off for 15 years now. I still get lost. But that's one of the main reasons was like trying to find a site that, you know, that I can get people to come everywhere. And I think having central London, especially in the West End and theatre, so it's worked out so far in the last 7 months, and I'm really happy with the team, and we're pushing forward. So.
Is a lot of the stuff that you're pickling, whatnot, in the basement, where a kitchen would usually be?
Yeah, I'd love to take you down after the interview, mate.
Yes, please.
Yeah, definitely, great. Definitely. You know, and I always believe too, like, if you cook really powerful, flavorsome, rich food, you need a bit of acidity. The cutthroat, and that's one of the reasons. Like when I work for Ottolenghi, we have powerful flavors, rich with yogurt, but the acidity really works. So that's why I believe in vinegars. That's why I just showed you. I've got a box of fresh flowers from a supplier in Devon, and organic flowers. So I can't wait to play with it today. You know, so yeah, that's all. It's all about just like, you know, getting what you have now and storing it and using it for later.
What's a typical dish that you'd serve here?
Well, look, let me start. So I always believe that when you do open your first place or any restaurant, you should have staple dishes, dishes that people always come back and will never forget, and you never take it off. If you do, people come and, you know, tell you off about it. So I have this thing called the repa. I think a few South Americans will know that you have two different versions of the repa. It's made from basically a tortilla mix, masa harina. Basically, you know, the Venezuelans grill it, and then the Colombians fry it. So you can't go wrong with fried bread. So we took that recipe and we pinked up the koji with the corn and fermented for 2 days, and then made the dough in the masa and let it sit there for about 8 to 10 days. Then we rebuild it with more moisture after the 10 day, and then press it to order, and then it fries in a deep fryer, so it fluffers up. And then I serve it with like, 2 years ago in Nopi, and when I was working for Ottolenghi, I salted a shitload of bergamots and didn't know what to do with it. And now it's come a bergamot labne. So he pairs with a bit of bergamot labne and my mum's eggplant sambal. You know, so it's very Moorish, and it feels good when you eat it. And you do like, you cut it in half in like a pita pocket. So like, you know, a simple staple dish, it takes 2.5 weeks to get it ready. You've got to give me some respect for that. You know, like even the boys go, you know, it takes a long time, but it's all about time management. Most of my meats are brine for about 10 days to a month. I have an ox dung dish that we follow a Thomas Keller recipe that, bless him for that, because he brines his ox dung for 4 weeks and then he sues me for 3 days. And you know what? You can't go wrong with that. You know, if you show the respect for it and it's an amazing ox tongue dish. I think it can change anyone's palate who hates the word ox tongue or tongue, you know. But this is what I'm trying to say. Most of my dishes takes time and process.
So prepping for a shift, or what do people like to listen to when they're before the restaurant opens?
So my head chef is banned sometimes from using the music in the restaurant. He's a big heavy metal dude, man. You know, like, I don't know the stuff he listens to. I can't remember, like, I think it was like closest to Pantera and like really crazy heavy metal. So he's barred sometimes. But one thing we do get along, I grew up with a lot of good Aussie rock, you know, like UMI, Greenspoon, Tumbleweed, Screaming Jets, and some of the songs is called Helping Hand, Shivers, The Wedding Ring, The Razor's Edge. And then if, you know, I'm feeling kind of mellow day and I want to chill out, kind of grunge, I'll be listening to Mad Season, Wake Up. Wake up, young man, it's time to wake up. It's one of my favorites. I'll play a couple of times before I get sick of it. And then my chef will be looking at me, can you change the fucking songs? But that's how it is, I guess. It's really hard to make everyone be happy what you play for the day. Growing up in Oz, you know, like, I grew up in Western Suburbs, so I used to surf a lot. And I went through, like, basically my teenage years, and I was a big grunge lover, Pearl Jam, big fan of Eddie Vedder. And you know, it's always played downstairs. We got a basement downstairs to do our mise en place, our preparation. So that's when we really pummel shows. You can always catch someone singing in the corner when you go downstairs, because they get caught, you know.
Grunge music in the basement while things are fermenting.
Yeah, exactly.
Feels like, yeah. It feels like an appropriate mix.
Exactly. So like, this is where I really started off. And then when I left the Western suburbs to start working in the city, I met a couple good friends that I keep in touch. Got me into hip-hop a lot, you know. Yeah, in Sydney. So then I started listening to a lot of... It's from these days, too. I'm a big fan of Tupac and Biggie Smalls and Big Pun and Fat Joe. I listen a bit of R&B, Fabulous, Maze. I'm a big man. Get this man room. I'd hit everything from Cancun. You're talking about... If you ask me what's new music, I'm listening to... I think her name is called Tash. She's a Melbourne girl from Australia, Tash Sultana. I don't know if you ever heard of her. And the new song's called Jungle. I felt like a chill out mood today. I didn't feel any hate banging kind of music. So I was listening to Tash Sultana. I just wanted something chill out. But I don't know. I'm downstairs tonight. I probably put a bit of TLC on. You know, a bit of Marvin Gaye. You know, it depends. Really, like, depends how I feel and if I want to chill out or not. But having your own place now, you know, you do have to. You got to make sure your boys are enjoying the music too. You know, so we all try to chip in and listen what we feel like today. We let everyone put on what they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What about the end of the night? Like when kind of doors are
closing?
That's
when we let our head chef pour his crazy fucking heavy metal just to make him happy, so I can go home early and the other staff can suffer. But it gets him going and he cleans down faster. That's the main thing.
So he's cleaning down to Pantera?
Yeah.
Thanks to Chef Romail Scully. Head to scullyrestaurant.com for reservations if you find yourself heading to London's West End for a show anytime soon. And check out the book that he co-wrote with Chef Yotam Ottolenghi, inspired by his time as head chef at Nopi. You can also head over to thebluegrasssituation.com for a link to Scully's shift list, including all the music you heard on this episode and more. If you liked this episode, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all the places that you get podcasts. The Shift List is produced by me, Chris Jacobs, based on an article by the same name created by Nevin Martell, originally published over at BGS.com. Our executive producer is Amy Reitnauer, with help as always from the entire BGS team, including associate editor Justin Hiltner, managing editor Craig Shelburne, marketing guru Joseph Klingel, and all the amazing writers and contributors that make BGS the best source for roots culture redefined. Theme music by Jamie Drake. Check her out at jamiedrakemusic.com. The Shift List is part of the BGS Podcast Network. Be sure to check out BGS's ever-growing collection of podcasts up right now at thebluegrasssituation.com. I'm Chris Jacobs. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Ngo from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.